and still we go on. Delighted! Tranmere are going up! Mellon's mission accomplished!
Oh, what a goal! Nick Henry, who scored a fantastic goal to beat West Ham in the FA Cup, has done it again for John Aldridge's team. What a start for Tranmere!
Swinging free kick and a chance here for Kelly. He scored!
David Kelly! Tranmere a level against all the odds!
Jennings. There's the cross. Forwards! In! In for Tranmere!
This is Buxton, away from Backinson. This is Pringle, now Caprice. Caprice with the cross, the header, it's in! It's Connor Jennings! Tranmere Rovers, who's double dip, led to their world caving in! Could be getting back to where they were in double quick time!
Right then, folks, welcome back once again to the This Is Tranmere podcast, the first, and, well, I was going to say best, but definitely isn't anymore, isn't definitely never was, even when we were the only one, but we were the first Tranmere podcast. My name is Matt Hibbert, Matt Hibbert 17 on Instagram, at Matt Hibbert on Twitter, and all that malarkey, the host of this shambles, a bit like the club, really, isn't it, this podcast, Paul? Paul Harper's here, everyone. Say hello, Paul.
Hello. Hello. Yeah. Hello, Paul. Yeah. We like to do things properly, don't we? So yes, we'd like to do things the Tranmere way.
Yeah.
It's taken us 20 minutes to get online, but hopefully you're listening to us loud and clear.
Damn straight. At This Is Tranmere on Twitter, at This Is Tranmere on all social media stuff. Get us on SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, and on Spotify. Right then, Paul. Last time we spoke was on the eve of the season, wasn't it? The eve of the first game, and then... Jake Keogh, of course, you know, one podcast into the season, he can't be with us. Yeah. He's off.
I don't know,
probably trying to smuggle Colombian marching powder out of Paraguay or trying to smuggle 50,000 sleeves of Marlboro into Dover. Whatever he is, he's back inside, so he can't be with us, unfortunately. So it's just me and PH today, Hollywood, Paul Hollywood Harper. You've been to, how many games have you been to, Paul, this year? Who managed to get 20?
Yeah, I've been to a couple.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to the three home league games, and I've seen the aways, and I really don't know what to make of it. I mean, we're talking now; it's Friday, 1st of September, day before the Wrexham game, and the last day of the transfer window. So we've got until 11 o'clock tonight. Was it midnight tonight? Tonight basically to get the ins and outs finished. Until the January window opens. The opening day, Barrow, and it feels like a lifetime ago. It was only, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I think. It wasn't great, was it? But at the same token, it was nowhere near as bad as last year against Stevenage.
For small mercies.
Yeah, again, it's like, it always comes up with Tranmere. It's like going, what do you rather have, punch in the face or punch in the bollocks? And you go, do you rather have none? You go, you've got to choose one. And that's what this was like. Last year was a punch in the bollocks repeatedly. This was more like a punch in the face. You know, we lost to Barrow on another day, you know, again, but we didn't have Dennis and Norris start that game. They came on, didn't they, with about 20 to go, and we looked much better. Then we went to MK Dons, and I would go as far as to say, Paul, the second half of the MK Dons game is the best I've seen us play since the pandemic. Pretty much since the season was curtailed in 2020, that second half. But then we lost the game. No, so it's almost irrelevant. Yeah. I'd rather we played shite and won the game 2-1. You know, Norris hits the bar with that chance. Jennings has the two headers. Dennis has a chance. Norris has another one. We dominated them for the second half. They didn't have a shot. They barely got out their half. And Yeah, it was frustrating. Frustrating. But then we went and beat Harrogate 3-0 on the Tuesday after. And things were suddenly, weren't they looking up, Paul, I felt? It was, we played really well, but lost on the Saturday. But then we turned in a good performance on the Tuesday. Mm. And then...
Yeah, I think at that point, you're thinking, hopefully, you know, you turn a bit of a corner and, you know, kick on. And obviously, you know, injuries and stuff have happened and bits and bobs, but...
Yeah, I mean, the Salford game, Paul, first of all, I thought that was a really good game of football. Certainly the first half, I thought both sides looked like the really decent sides. And then it's typical with Tranmere over the last like few years. One thing that never happened with Norris, he never got injured, did he? Don't think he ever missed a game injury. Missed a few with suspension. A few suspensions.
Including one that he put on the screen.
Yeah. But which genuinely wasn't his fault. Probably the only time you can say it wasn't his fault.
It's always his fault, Matt.
Well, Cookie had that one injury when he dropped a dumbbell on his hand just before Christmas 2016. But we're thinking like a good players during that era. We didn't. Obviously, we had all them injuries at the back end of that season, and you know, before the Forest Green playoff final. Every time though, over the last like 4 or 5 years, that we go, hang on a minute, we've got a really good 11 here and a good, you know, style of play that fits this 11. Whoever the key component is in that gets injured almost straight away. The Vaughan one was a classic, wasn't it? Vaughan one was a classic, and then over the last few years has always been just like you think, hello, we've hit upon a team here and they're playing well, and then there's a massive injury, even going back to Ben Tollett one, see what I mean, stuff like that, and then you know, there you go, pre-season half time, you know, we're 2-1 up against Salford, we're playing well, we're on top, and I don't even remember, it was just a complete nothing. It wasn't even a tackle, was it? He just went for a ball in the by the corner, Norris down the Cowshed end, and just fell awkwardly on, I think, I don't know if one of the defender trod on his knee by mistake, and straight away we all went, oh no, here we go again. Yes. And he tried to play on the inside, because it was just before half time, but it didn't look good, and he's not played since, and we have gone to pot without him. We end up losing that game 4-3. On another day, you know, could we have won it? Yeah, they missed chances, so did we, but it was a good game. Luckily, I wasn't here, and I was away down in London, for the Notts County game, but it, all my worst fears, and we even like sort of forgot, we went down for the wrestling, me and Nick, and we got to the hotel for 3, and it was in Canary Wharf, and we had to get to Camden to the Electric Ballroom, so we were in an Uber while it was going on, and we got there just after 5, so yeah, half time, second half's kicked off, and I just made the mistake, I went on Twitter. And I even went on the Cowsheds just to see, just to lurk. And I went, people's reaction. The quote was from someone, Paul, this is the worst performance since Leeds away in August 2009, which was university. We could have lost that game like 30-0. I think we lost it 3-0 in the end, but we had no shots. They had something like 45 shots. And everyone said it was just an absolute disgrace, that performance on Saturday. And I don't know if you went, Paul, or saw it.
No, I didn't. I've seen the extended.
What is going on? What's going on, Paul? Like, just because Norris is injured, it shouldn't affect our team as much as it does, should it? Yeah. One player shouldn't make a team.
I think what it is is the defending that day was just appalling. And, you know, the last 2-3 years or whatever it's been, where we've not been great, but we've always had that sort of solid,
been tight at the back,
not conceded many goals, looked, you know, fairly solid. And then on Saturday it was just all over the place, really.
Same against Salford though, wasn't it?
Yeah, a bit like that. You know, people not picking up, you know, walking, you know, It was poor, and you look at the two goals and you think, hold on, is this being played in slow motion? But no, it was full pace, and people just, you know, getting past people too easy, not putting a foot in. I mean, it could have been embarrassing that day, and then, you know, ended up 2-1. It looks like a tight, close game, but really they could have absolutely destroyed us.
Yeah,
4-5 easy. Missed lots of chances, and there was a couple of scrambles and this, that and the other. And yeah, I know we're missing players. And maybe this is an indictment of
it's the recruitment?
The kind of the recruitment and the squad that we've built.
It's 100% the recruitment.
You know, we pick up injury to both fullbacks. And things have gone to part, haven't they? You know, you're getting a centre half playing fullback, you're getting the midfielder playing left back. It's, you know, square pegs in round holes. As we've seen so many times in the past, and, you know, obviously today we brought in another Norris on loan from Liverpool, fullback, left fullback. And we've got this Dan Pike who's come in from Blackburn. To cover those two positions,
but on a month contract.
Yeah.
What?
Oh,
what's going on at this football club?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's a young lad. He's been, I think he's been training with us for quite a while. Played.
He's been with us all pre-season, I think, hasn't he? Well, why haven't we? If you know, I don't get it. I don't understand. It's just you look unless at that.
Unless it's something, you know, on his part where he's like
keep options open.
Keeping his options open, the club maybe don't want to fully commit. You know, whether he's got, you know, irons in the fire elsewhere, but to sign him on a month, it's not really a vote of confidence either to the player or to the team. Really,
I've never heard of it before ever.
Yeah, I mean, like obviously the Leek has done his hamstring, so he's going to be, what, 2, 3, 4 weeks. So whether it's just to cover that, or whether, you know, we're going to bring somebody else in before midnight tonight, I'm not sure, but it is a strange one. He had a decent game, by all accounts, on Tuesday night.
Well,
so it'll be interesting to see how he kicks on.
Yeah.
And maybe if they do extend it, but... Yeah, to see him on a month deal, it's not really a... I mean, even if he signed till January, it's, you know, a bit more of a statement of intent. But to sign him for a month, I mean, can he move on after that month to another team? I don't think he can until January, could he?
No, he can't, can he? Out of contract?
Possibly, yeah.
It doesn't register the Blackburn this year, was he? So he wouldn't be... Yeah. It's just an odd thing. I mean, you spoke about the defending on Saturday there being poor. The defending against Salford right now, I felt Leek. I like this lad. I like the look of him. He's not quite as good as Bristow, but he's younger. And I think he's got all the same attributes. He got a lot of the stick for that, for what happened in that game. But the centre-halves, Davis and Turnbull, two of the best in the division, if not the best, in my opinion. Yeah, obviously, we don't see
and experienced as well.
Real solid, yeah. Two, you know, played hundreds of games between them at levels higher than this as well. So the first goal was a good goal by them, got him behind. But this, all three in the second half are so poor by the pair of them. And even the keeper. I know everyone's in love with this keeper. Like, it hasn't made a save yet for me that have made me go, bloody hell, that's a good save. I thought he could do better on all three of them goals. And the defending was poor. And poor Leek, also for did. And this goes to Dawes for me and the coaching staff. Very early on, it was clear they were isolating Leek out there. Matt Smith was drifting over, 6'5". Yeah. They were hanging the long diagonal to him, and he was winning every ball. Yeah. At what point do you go? What do you expect this 19-year-old left-back to do? He's not going to win any of these headers. And even the other guy, Hendry, who scored the hat-trick and looks a really good player, he's bigger than him. He wasn't, like, he's not going to win these headers on these long diagonals if Callum Hendry and Matt Smith are there. Do something to counter that. Either tell the strikers and the forward players, you stop that diagonal. You bust the gut every time that they hit the tap. But we were just letting them. They were playing around at the back, and one of the centre-halves or the left-back would just ping that long diagonal all game, and all goals in the second half came from that.
I think you make a valid point. Cut the danger out before it's even started and
100%.
Stop that ball. But I think Leek got into some bad positions, really. I mean, you don't need to be a genius to work out that he's not going to win a header against Matt Smith. So don't even go for the header. Give him back off a yard instead of sort of selling yourself and trying to win a ball you're never going to win, and just drop back and try and get that second, get hold of that second ball. If he brings it down, then go in for the challenge. If he flicks it on, you're in a better position to get back. I think a couple of times he was going for the header, getting nowhere near it, and being caught so far out of position, and then walking back, which really pissed me off.
I think the problem, Paulo, is so if he doesn't go for the header, some of our fans, and it did happen, people started getting on his back, and I said, what do you expect him to do? And he was getting 2v1 constantly.
You've got to rise above that, though. I know it's difficult when you get kind of drawn into a situation, but if you know, and surely someone, you know, better qualified than a bloke in the Borough Road stand in the Johnny King,
Paul Hawthorne,
surely someone can be passing on a message saying, listen, lad, you're not winning those headers. Don't even go for it. Make sure that we're in a nice, solid back four position to be able to defend the flick on or the knockdown or whatever's coming.
Well, that was it, Paul. Their three goals in second half came from second balls. Yeah. And just the two centre halves got done for all three of the second goal, the second half goals.
That's
and
it.
You can't. But again, it comes to the coaching staff. If they didn't know that they were going to be planning that, they should. What do we do scouting for? And even so, within the first 10 minutes of the game, it was obvious what they were doing. So react to that, change things. Yeah. Eventually, towards the end of the game, we went, because we were chasing it as well, we went to a back three, didn't we? We had Yarny, Turnbull and Davis as a back three. And we had, I think, Hawks and Morris as wing backs. Should we have done that earlier? Because that way, that every time that long diag goes over, you would have had Jordan Turnbull going up. And you much rather fancy him than Leek going up against Matt Smith and Callum Hendry. And it was we were slow to react. And then that performance on Saturday, by all accounts, was just, you know, an absolute disgrace. And it worries me, Paul, for this season. We all said in the opening pod, where do we think we'll finish? And we all said, you know, bottom half was what we said, didn't we? The guy said 14.
Top of bottom half,
I mean, it doesn't fill me with confidence. And you look at this recruitment again. What are we doing?
We're in the last day of the window, and I understand, you know, it's difficult to get players in, and you know that you want the right sort of players, and he's obviously got a style of play that he wants to play, and everybody needs to sort of fit into that mentality, that formation, whatever it's going to be. But again, you know, we're looking short. We've got 5 hours until the window closes. And once again, it's looking like we're going to struggle through to January, hopefully pick up a couple more in January when it's even harder. And it's been the same over the last 4 or 5 years. And albeit, you know, a couple of those years, particularly the, you know, 18, 19, when we went up, you know, we did some cracking business in January and kicked on.
Because we had an FA Cup run.
Promoted. Yeah. But if that doesn't happen, you know, we're struggling and, you know, we're probably battling relegation that season. And it's been a struggle ever since. And, you know, I don't know. I know it's difficult, and I know that, you know, supporters, you know, they throw out some names. It's not always, you know, as simple as that. And obviously the Premier League clubs have been slow to loan out players, and obviously we've picked one up from Liverpool today. But yeah, we just look short, and like we alluded to, you know, a few minutes ago, you know, a couple of injuries at the back, a couple of injuries up front, and we look deadly short. And obviously Kane Hemmings has left today by mutual consent.
Yeah,
so that's another attacking option short.
You'd
Whether
think
somebody's
Paul,
going to come in. Surely somebody's going to come in if they've just let him go. But
we wouldn't be letting him go. Certainly not like this on a mutual agreement, unless even Norris has been cleared and is okay, or we're bringing someone else in. I'd rather both, to be honest.
Yeah,
because
same.
You know,
I think the thing with Norris, and I was meaning to mention this on the first pod we did. Is that, you know, we signed him. He was injured, so he was always going to take, you know, a few weeks to kick in.
Metatarsal, he did. He'd done it at the back end of last season.
Yeah, and he didn't start pre-season. He played a few minutes in the last pre-season friendly, but he was never going to be up to speed going into the start of the season, which is a bit of a bugbear of mine as well, signing injured players. But, you know, luckily we've got him in. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have picked up this other injury, because, you know, knocks happen. But
wasn't Dennis injured as well, or did he get injured?
He picked up an injury at Vauxhall's in the first friendly. Jesus. And these things are unfortunate, but it seems to be a common theme over the last few years. And as we've said, you know, we've not brought in any sort of strength and depth to cover any, you know, difficulties in those areas. And obviously Connor Jennings has been sort of filling in at the left, right and centre.
Well, honestly, Paul, right, I think we all loved him from his first stint.
Yeah.
He's better now. He's a better footballer now. He's blown me away how good he is. I always loved him, and we all thought he's not going to be a starter. He's been our player of the season by a mile. He's played all over the shop. He's been asked to be a number nine up front. Excuse me. Winning headers. The amount of headers he's won is ridiculous. What have you thought of him, Paul, the return of Connor?
Yeah, I mean, like everyone, really, I was a bit unsure, a bit uncertain as to, you know, obviously we know what he's like and his work rate, his personality in the dressing room, all the rest of it. That goes without saying that he's, you know, a good lad to have around. He works hard. He's determined. He'll do a job, whatever you ask him to do. If you ask,
you talk about
him
me.
A goal.
Oh, Connor. Okay.
You as well.
Certainly not yourself.
No, definitely not. But you know, he'll do a job wherever you ask him to play, left, right, or centre, which he has been asked to already this season. But you know, a little bit older, a little bit, you know, closer to retirement, let's say. But he's been outstanding. And
31?
Yeah.
Good age.
And obviously, you know, he's been playing. He was playing non-league, wasn't he, last couple of years. Come back. But yeah, like you say, even better than he was previously. He's maybe slightly different player. But he's still got, you know, all that work rate, you know, that football intelligence, which you can't teach, really.
You never lose it.
Yeah. And I think he's been outstanding, by far our best player so far this season. And long may that continue, because, Lee's a lovely lad, as we all know, and he's been through some tough times over the last 4 to 5 years. I'm really pleased to see him back, and really pleased to see him, you know, really thriving and flourishing under the Dawes diamond.
Speaking of Connor Jennings, we welcome one of his old teams tomorrow. First big game of the season, really. It's big one. The lads, the Hollywood boys, your boys actually, aren't you? Your poor Hollywood Harper, Wrexham, comes to town.
I want nothing to do with Ryan Edwards and the other fella.
It's a circus, follows them, doesn't it, everywhere they go. And they have, to be fair, they haven't had the best start either, have they?
There's been a lot of talk, haven't there, of pressure on the manager and that. They've only picked up the one win. And
one win, three draws, one defeat, is it?
Yeah. Like you say, you know, there's always going to be pressure on because of, you know, the owners and who they are and their stature. And they're expecting to go up, aren't they? Let's not beat around the bush. They'll be wanting to get promoted, and at the moment, you know, they're sitting bottom half of us. It's obviously not where they want to be. I just have a massive fear tomorrow that Paul Mullen is going to suddenly come out of the wilderness.
That was my concern.
And
a shock return.
Yeah. Having played no minutes so far after being taken out by that young Man United goalie. It's just written, isn't it? He's going to make some sort of impact against us.
My concern, Paul, tomorrow is the crowd, right, is, and I'm not just talking about, you know, the usual flippy flop, you know, like reactionary fans. all of us, I think, we're fucking pissed off at this football club at the minute, right? It goes back to, it's been coming for years, this, and it's been brewing, and that's why this scares me, what could happen tomorrow. I feel like we get treated like shit by this club, the fan base. Taken advantage of, maybe, might be a bit the wrong phrase, but... are we the highest season ticket in the league? We are, aren't we? Or if not, we are certainly one of them.
Yeah.
Maybe the highest, I think. Right. That's a joke, for a start. We get asked to do... We take a lot of shit and just, you know, we go, okay, yeah, look, we know we're a football club, we haven't got much money. We get spun all these things about recruitment. Oh, we're doing this. Recruitment's going to be better. We've learned our lesson. We've been hearing that now for 5 years. Ever since, I would say, the year we came back up into the Football League, the recruitment was terrible, wasn't it? Mickey wasn't backed. Every year we've heard this. And then this year, the same. We end up scrambling on deadline day for players, asking for favours off Liverpool and Premier League clubs. Then there's this, have you heard people trying to get tickets for tomorrow? It's a fiasco, this. It's an absolute, just everything is 10 times more difficult than it should be. If someone wants to bring some friends and family, why do they have to, they've all got to have an account for this game? No, they don't. Oh, poor, it's a joke. I don't really want to go tomorrow. I just think it's going to be a nightmare. I think if they get an early goal as well, a packed cow shed, it will go. Literally, it is there. The petrol is all over the stadium. And all it takes is an early Wrexham goal to light the fuse and light the match, and it's going to go berserk. People will lose it tomorrow. If we get turned over, an early goal, we're 2-0 down in half-time, it's going to be toxic. Mate, Britney Spears said it herself. It's going to be toxic. It's going to be even worse than that. It worries me, because then what do? If we lose that tomorrow, if we're 2-0 down at half-time and end up losing 3-0, the second half is just going to be dogs abuse coming from all the fans, because that will be the final. It'll be the tipping point for a lot of people. And what does Palios do there? We'll be in the bottom. We could be in the bottom two, could we? We're already in the bottom four, I think, aren't we? Are we 19th or 20th, wherever we are?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, 3 points from, yeah, we've got 3 points from the opening five games. We'd be six games in, one win, five defeats. That's not good enough at all, is it? And then if you want to go back to last year and the record, whatever, but no, give them a clean slate. So, yeah, one win and five, bottom four of the Football League. What do you do? And the crowd, the crowd will turn. The only way possible that wouldn't happen is if it's 0-0 or tight, going into the and they nick a late winner. But then the other way, Paul, we could come out all guns blazing, playing like second half against MK Dons or how we played against Harrogate, and do them, because they're poor at the back. It could be goals galore, but this is it, Paul. This is a bit like the season. You turn up and you don't know what you're going to get, do you? Are you going to get the MK Dons second half performance? Are you going to get Notts County on Saturday away, a shambles? Are you going to get Harrogate? Are you going to get the Barrow game? There's no consistency. Who knows what the 11's going to be? Like that, it's bingo at the minute. And it's like, used to be Mickey Bingo, they used to say, what 11's it going to be? But when he had an 11 he liked, he'd stick to it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, for the big games.
I'm just worried about tomorrow, Paul. I'm really worried about it for a lot of reasons, like I've just listed. What do you think?
Well, let's start with the first point you made about the tickets.
It's a fucking shambles.
When I was working there, there was always some kind of fiasco ticket wise with the system that they were using, that people couldn't log in, that people were struggling to buy a ticket. And they've tried various different operators or whatever. There were hundreds and hundreds and thousands of clubs and events that use online ticketing that make it as easy as possible for your customer to get to that event. And still, we have this system that doesn't work as well as it should do. And I understand the reason why, you need to have a prior purchase history, so we don't get a load of Wrexham fans in the home end. I get all that. But make it easy for people to buy the tickets.
This is home fans trying to buy tickets, isn't it? For the friends and family you want to call.
It shouldn't be difficult. It should be, right, select your game, select your stand, select your seat, pay.
Yeah, it should be intuitive. It should be simple, intuitive. Anyone should be able to do it.
So difficult to get on. It puts people off. And obviously, there's no cash on the gate. I understand reasons for that as well. Again, I don't understand why they can't have those portable card machines that you
contactless on the gate then, yeah?
Contactless on the gate. Yeah. I'm sure that would draw, even if it drew another 100, 200 people down there on match day. You know, they put the ticket price up when you buy on match day. It's just making it as hard as possible for people to buy a blooming ticket to come and watch a game. And like you said, it's expensive anyway.
Yeah.
Which puts a lot of people off, which is why I've not got a season ticket.
Nick Roberts hasn't got a season ticket this year. That's it. This is it. Yeah. Nick hasn't got, this is it. People who've been coming for 30 years have gone, no.
Yeah, but then your casual fan, or the people, who don't have the season ticket, I'm living a bit further away and working and stuff as well.
You pick and choose, yeah.
You pick and choose. But even now, it's like, it's a ball ache to try and get a ticket. And it just shouldn't be so hard. And I know, I'm not criticising the people that are trying to sort this all out. But surely there's a better solution to the one that we've currently got.
It's going to be poor, I guarantee it. It's on the cheap. Whoever this ticketing system is, it's someone who's cheap. This company come in and said, we'll run it for X amount of money and it'll be a cheap one. Do you remember last year at some point, I forget what it was, it was either the number 4 or the letter R, something like that, and you physically couldn't type it on the ticketing website. And they were, we are aware of the issue. We're working on it. In the meantime, if you need to do it, you need to copy it from another document and paste it in. How does this happen? This is the people we're working with. You can't do the jobs. This is it. These people can't. It's always been a bugbear of mine, part of my life. People can't do the jobs. Why are you in this? If you can't do your job, especially these people. Ah, Paul, it does me head in. This football club, it's a shambles from top to bottom. It really is.
I follow a lot of football fans and clubs and stuff on Twitter and the like. And I don't hear anybody grumbling about how difficult it is to buy a ticket.
No, because it isn't. But
Tranmere fans are obviously very vocal on Twitter about our grievances. But tickets is one of the bugbears, and it is
one of my best mates is a Liverpool fan, and he goes home and away Europe with them. He's not a season ticket holder, but he's got like a ticket, he's in like a ticket chair thing. So he shares like tickets with people. So, but more often than not, you can pretty much go to almost every game. It's only the real super big ones. Sometimes they split, he'll go to Derby and the other guy will go to Man City. But normally you can always get a ticket. And so he was telling me about how they sort the tickets out for the European aways, the hottest ticket in town. Their ticketing system works. And this is when there's, in some cases, hundreds of thousands of people, or certainly tens of thousands, all trying to get sometimes 2,000 tickets. There's 2,000 tickets, say, for who have they got in the, I don't know who they've got in the group, LASK, haven't they, or Union Saint, whatever.
So yeah, the Union Berlin.
Yeah, no Union, Chile, the Belgian ones who...
Yeah, you're right.
So, Paul, I know one thing. I know my football. Say there's 3,000 tickets for that. Their system will be, so it's these people that can get them. You need these amount of points or these amount of credits from last year. Bing, bing, bing. Then it's done. It's not hard. And think how much harder that situation is where you're dealing with people. Our system is people just want to buy a ticket for a game tomorrow on a Saturday, a League Two football match, and it's impossible to do. And they keep going, the police have advised us. They're sort of advised, so it's not, they're not saying. And even the police have advised us. Why do they get a say in this? It's not going to, it does all this stuff. It's just, we're a league too. It's like when we had to go and play Chester, it was at 11 o'clock, half 11 on a Sunday morning, a bubble game. And it's like, why do you, nothing's going to happen, mate. We're all, I went straight from work in the end. I didn't even go to sleep that day. It's pointless. And there was no atmosphere, remember? It was the no atmosphere. Chester Tranmere. And it was dead. The atmosphere was dead. Much better. Mm. But then the following year, we played them at 7:30 on a Friday night. Yeah. Make your mind up. Are we a bubble game on a Sunday at 11? Or are we a Friday night boozle? It doesn't make any sense. The football. I know that wasn't the football club. That was the police and the authorities doing that. But just... I can't be the only one, Paul. I'm sick. I'm regretting getting a season ticket now. That's £400 I could have spent on, I could have put that towards our bills for this winter. I've got other stuff to pay for. I don't need, I'm not enjoying going to the game. One of my best mates, Nick, doesn't even come anymore, so I don't get to see him anymore. I've still got my other mates there. But it's not going the game is not an enjoyable experience at all in any way, shape or form anymore, is it? I think most people would agree that the match day experience is just dead at the minute. But Paul, fan park is on the way. So
yeah, you never know.
No.
So I put a tweet out earlier today to say to ask people what they'd like us to discuss. One of the things is Leslie Murray says, "Where's my R sticker?" So, they haven't put reserve stickers on season ticket seats.
Little things, isn't it? It should be.
Just basic stuff, isn't it, really?
Doesn't send you on ours, Paul, actually,
program,
no?
Program sellers not being around the ground, they're only selling programs in certain areas or certain kiosks. It's just bizarre. And I know they've been asking for loads of match day volunteers. And it's like you were saying before, the club was always asking for volunteers.
This
can
is
we
it.
Do this? There's always the begging bowl out, and the trust. I'm not trying to diss what the trust are doing, but there's always something. Can you donate to this? Can you donate to that? Can you give this? There's only so much that people can do, especially at times when it's we're all struggling, for money. At the best of times. And there's always can we just do a GoFundMe to, for the rec centre for this or for that. And I know there's some good causes and, Tranmere fans are incredibly generous. But there is a point to that generosity and, especially when, we're not seeing what we were kind of promised or, whatever on the pitch. These things do become sort of bigger issues just naturally. We wouldn't be talking about this if we were flying top of the league. But because we're struggling and we haven't, been doing as well, it's these smaller issues. And like you say, the matchday experience is not as good. It's not as enjoyable, an afternoon. You can't get a pint in the Bunny Bell or whatever it is. All just adds to the frustrations, really, and all we want, really, is a decent team to watch. And if we had that, these other things would sort of, go into obscurity a little bit more. But because, it's been a struggle and, these things become a bit harsher. But, hopefully things will get better and, they'll take on board all the feedback or the criticism, particularly this one game, because this is the one game really for the season that's going to be, higher profile than most of the others. So hopefully they can take on board whatever feedback they're receiving and, hopefully it gets better.
It's an accumulation, Paul, of a lot of things, isn't it? Like I was saying before, this has been coming for years and it's just a general... It feels like just neglect. It feels like towards the end of the PJ era, where just things were getting neglected. And it feels like we've come full circle. The only difference here, there's no difference actually. We were, when Palace took over, we were in this position in League Two, weren't we? And he's come out and said, I knew the day we bought that. And he's since, it's easier to say in retrospect, isn't it, with hindsight, I knew we'd go down the day. Well, what do you mean? We were 16th in January, February. So, Paul, who knows? We could go out and smash them 5-0 tomorrow. I hope we do. Because deep down is the thing. Even I don't think many Tranmere fans would have chose Dawes as their manager. But I want us to win every game we play. I would love us to be top with 5 wins out of 5, playing great football, the Dawsey Diamond, flying, you know. But it's not happened, has it? That's as most of us thought. We went, is this, you know. Oh, I'm just sick and tired. It's just, I keep saying this. It's apathy. It's just, that's how I feel towards the club and going the game and everything Tranmere at the minute. And it's the complete opposite of how I felt in 2018, 2019, and even, you know, when the season got curtailed because of COVID in 2020. That was like we peaked. And I feel literally we peaked that Blackpool away game in March 2020. Where we'd won 3 on the bounce, we would have stayed up in League One, and we were all pulling in the same direction. And then ever since then, it's been back, and we have just slid back down, no forward momentum whatsoever. And we are almost, I would say, back to the point of where we were when they took over. Ironically, you know, it's nearly at the 10 years, 9 years we are, aren't we? Mm. So, where do we go from here? What do we do? Be more transparent was what we want, I think, from them. Tell us actually what's going on instead of coming out with these, you know, like last year when we were one of the most creative teams in the division. We weren't, though. Don't try and chat shit like that. We're not stupid. Don't, that's what I say when they take advantage. Don't think, you know, I've seen a few times, don't talk about us as consumers. We're fans, we're the supporters. We are this football club. You take us away, there is no Tranmere Rovers Football Club. Take the fan base away. There's nothing. Take that away from anyone. Take the fan base away from Liverpool. Take them away from Man City, from Barcelona, Bayern Munich. Take the fan base away. The supporters. There is no football club. We are the football club. And I think the owners and people who run these football clubs need to realise that more in world football. This is the reality of it. Like, I mean, that's another podcast again, Paul, isn't it? We always, you know, veer onto the state of football. And, you know, the game, I say it's a joke a lot, the game's gone. It has to win it. What's the point? Mm. You know, you saw that Leicester team come. They're a championship side. It's a joke, isn't it? We've got no chance with them. I know that they're basically a Premier League side, aren't they? But the days when, you know, a team like that would come and we'd fancy our chances, doesn't happen anymore. There's no chance. Yes. The players, the money, it's a different game. Look at some of the fees getting paid today, transfer deadline day. You know, what's the point when, you know, what's our club transfer record? It's still Sean Teal, isn't it?
Yeah, 450,000.
Was it 450?
Yeah.
And that was in 1995? And yep. Can you imagine us spending that on a player now? It would be mind-blowing. And that was a player who was playing in the Premier League for Aston Villa. Mm. What would 450 get you now? Like a decent player from the conference? Like it would be someone who's a prospect, wouldn't it? Yeah. So on one hand, I can understand that. I don't want us to overspend, and I don't think we ever will. But you just want some ambition. You want something to look forward to. You want to be excited, don't you? And you just want some hope in life in general. You want some hope that some good can happen, some good could possibly come your way. And at the minute, like, I'm just expecting to go there tomorrow. I'm expecting Wrexham to get an early goal. I'm expecting us to lose, but 3-0, they're away, and I'll be gone. Yeah, I'll be long gone. If we're 3-0 down in an hour, I'm out of there, Paul. I won't be the only one. Yeah. And I just think tomorrow could be, and I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope we turn up, and I hope we turn them over and put on a great performance, and it kickstarts our season. That's it, Paul. Tomorrow's a much bigger day when you think about it like that. It's the one in the season where you go, we could go one way or the other here. It's the red pill or the blue pill in the matrix, which one we take in. And I hope we push on. And I hope we're all singing Dawes. Come Christmas time, we're all singing Dawes' name and we're up there challenging for the top 7. That's what that's what my heart says. My head says we're going to get turned over tomorrow. The crowd's going to turn. And Palios is going to have a decision to make come 3 o'clock. 12:30 kickoff tomorrow, isn't it? In case anyone didn't realise. Yeah, I didn't realise. I thought it was 1 or 2. 12:30. Mm. Oh, dear me, Paul. Not looking forward to it, can you tell?
Slightly. I think there's obviously Matt Palios is very good at spinning things. into a positive. And like you said, like, you know, he's talking about us being like the most creative team last season, blah, blah,
it's
blah.
It's bollocks,
blah,
though, isn't it? We're not stupid. We see through this.
You can use stats and spin stats however you want them, but like, the proof of the pudding is how many points did we get? How many goals did we score? Where did we finish in the league table? And, you know, and I know he did that interview, didn't he, before the season where he's, and we were chatting about it in our group on WhatsApp, and he's saying, like, Tranmere have only been promoted 7 times in the entire history. So the chances are we're not going to get promoted. Is that him sort of saying, you know, we're not going for promotion, or we probably, you know, there's a 7 out of 140 chance of us getting promoted. He's very particular in what he tells the media. And there's, you know, there's a lot of statements that he made in that interview, which doesn't really fill me with a great deal of hope and optimism and, you know, positivity. But yeah, hopefully, you know, something can happen. And like you say, tomorrow could go either way. You know, if we get a good win, or just a win, you know, the place will be buzzing, everybody will be happy. You know, we've beaten a rival, local rival, and, you know, things can go from there. But if it's a poor start, and people are getting on everybody's backs, and it could be, like you say, as toxic as it was back in the towards the end of the Mickey Adams era, and nobody really wants that.
I honestly think, Paul, that not even the full game, the first 15, 20 minutes tomorrow is massive. We've got to go out there and we've got to get at them. We've got to match them. We've got to be better than them in every way. And it's just huge. It's huge for Dawes. It's huge for Palios. It's huge for the football club. It's huge for us, because this is a sliding doors moment. I'm trying to get as many film metaphors in as possible. Sliding doors as well. That could be, you know, doors, DAWES.
Yeah.
We could use, I haven't planned that. I'm good at this, aren't I, Paul? I'm a consummate pro. Sliding doors moment. Like,
off the top of your head.
You could be, come tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock. You could be right. Here we go. We kick on. Or we could be getting the boot. You know, and Dan's takes over. You know, what, Adkins. The Adkins thing's one where, when he was announced in the summer as the director of football, that is his official job title, as a director of football?
Adkins? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think so.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. And we were all happy. Everyone was like, oh, we all love these, you know, these videos he posts where he's off for his morning walk and he's like, be positive and all stuff like that. I said at the time, I don't know if I put in our group, I said, let's see what the Tranmere fan responses to these walks he's posting and these be positive are. If we're in the bottom two at the end of August, and look what's happened, Paul, we are very close to being in that bottom two. And I'm pretty sure, has he stopped doing them? Or if he has?
Well, no, he's done one. I've seen him do one this morning.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
So
it's the last day of the transfer window. They're still trying to bring players in.
What's he doing? He's not on a walk, is he? Hard.
Oh, yeah, he was
get in the bloody office. Get the fax machine working. Jesus, Adkins, this is the thing again. When he come in, it's one, if all goes well, everyone's going, brilliant, clever thing getting him in. Look at the state of the recruitment. Look where we are. And then I'm asking the question, how much are we paying him? What's he do? What is he doing for his money? And this is always the problem. Like, because instantly you start thinking, well, if we're paying him, he's not going to come cheap, is he? He's not going to be getting paid less of what, and we don't know, but say for argument's sake, Paul, £50,000 a year, could that have been used to get a player? You know, at our level, that's a lot of money. Is he, what does he do, Paul? Give me a day in the life. Give me the office with Nigel.
Yeah, that's what we said last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, what's he going to do?
His role is. We don't know how involved he is with, you know, the first team, the manager, the recruitment. We don't really know what he's doing. Other than walking up and down the wheel, posting videos every morning saying be positive, which is great. I'm all for, you know, in promoting like positive mental health and getting out there and exercising and stuff. But you know what football fans are like, don't you?
Well, Paul, do you know what's been a detriment to my mental health the last 37 years of my life? This football club, with a couple of short exceptions. And even then, the good times, like the stress it caused me, I don't think Wembley 2018, don't think when I was down at Wembley on the weekend for the wrestling, I didn't go and stand at the exact spot where James Norwood scored the header, and then all the way around to the other side, to the exact spot where Connor Jennings scored, and didn't start getting PTSD in the torch. It was a good job we didn't go to Green Man, because that was the other side of Wembley. We were in the torch. And I was just like, oh, God. As much as I'd love to be in playoff finals, like, it was nice, Paul, being at Wembley and not, like, being
stressing about
a complete wreck of a human being, going, oh, God, when's the ref going to blow? Or, you know, the last minute of extra time. No. But then, you know, I'd much rather be back up there pushing for promotion than... than where we are now. What are we? This is the thing as a club. Like, what are we? This has been a really depressing podcast, hasn't it? Maybe we should bring it up. Maybe we should bring it up at the end. Actually, dude, before we bring it up, we should probably touch on really, really bad, sad news that's happened since the first podcast we did 3 weeks ago. The passing of Ben Harrison.
Yes.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to say the inclusion of Paul Lewis in every team since then.
No, no. I mean, that is also a tragedy. We'll touch on that before we go. But in all seriousness, like Ben Harrison, yeah, I think pretty much everyone knew him or certainly had little. He was a driving force, wasn't he, behind everything good that's happened at the club, pretty much in the last like 7 or 8 years, the tent.
Yeah, longer than that, yeah.
Yeah, well, a long time. But not just that, the amount of stuff he's done around Birkenhead for,
the community.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a lot of stuff that people probably didn't really... You ever want any credit for it? You never put his name on things. He just, for people who needed it as well. Do you know what I mean? It was for people who needed help, and sometimes probably people who didn't want to ask for help because they were too proud. Yeah. And he's done so much. And I was down in London on Sunday, so I couldn't go to the thing at the ground. I know the family wanted a private funeral, and that was why the thing at the ground was there. And I'm sure everyone's got a Ben Harrison story. I've got a couple about... There's one that I wanted to tell, and it was... It always, even, when I used to see him still to this day, and I saw him a few months ago in Oxton Village when I was at my mum's. I used to see him pretty much on a daily basis when I lived in Prices Lane, right in the village, because obviously he had the home cafe and he'd always be around and we'd always stop and have a chat. And that was good times. That was, 2018, 19. So the best times really we've had in 30 years. I was in there in home, not home, at the tap. There was a little bar, brilliant little bar, just down from home in Oxton Village, opposite the Oxton, on Christmas Eve, 2017. And it was, I think we played Sutton away. 2 days before, you were down doing commentary, Paul. It was a 3-1 game where Bucco scored that brilliant free kick early.
Yeah.
Connor Jennings scored a volley on the edge of the box. And it was 2-1 going into like injury time. And then we had a break and Cookie scored. Remember, Cookie scored, but like he should have squared it to Norse. And even when we scored, he ran off and Norse was furious, even though we'd scored and wrapped the game up. And we just started going on a bit of a run. And that was when, over that Christmas period, we ended up, we beat Fylde, we beat Guiseley. We were on, like, the best run in Europe at the time. Like, 1-7 on the bounce. Then we, on New Year's Day, when we got beat by Fylde. But that got us back into contention. And I remember being in there. And we were having a... Like, I was just in there with my mate on the toilet. I went and speaking to Ben. And we were, like, winning on Sutton. You know, to put us back up, and we're in, like, sixth now. And I said, and I'd seen you, whoever did the website, did you put the photos up at the match day gallery at the time?
Yeah.
And someone had put, you'd put the photo up of all our, that squad, that 11 stood, like before the game, lined up. And I just, I said, look at this photo. And it was like Scotty Davis, McNulty, Jay Ellis, Norse, Cookie, Connor Jennings. You know, a bunch of nutters, basically. You know, Richie Sutton, Bucco. And I just said, look at that set of lads. And I said, this set of lads. I went, I believe in these. I said, they're going to get us up. And I remember speaking to him and he said, I was thinking exactly the same thing. And we said, look, we're going to be stood here. This set of lads is good enough. And look at them. They are a proper football team. They'll get us out of this. They'll get us up. And I said, we'll be here and we'll have a pint come May. And exactly that. But it wasn't in the tap. it was actually straight after, and we were in Aldo's straight after, and I saw him, and we just both went, and we went to the bar, we had a pint, done that, and yeah, we were right, weren't we? Because them boys did get us up that year, Boreham Wood, Jesus Christ, but like just a lovely fella, did so much for the club, did so much for Birkenhead, and it was cancer, wasn't it, that got him, fucking cancer. Yeah. Takes everyone. And I'm sure there'll be some sort of, you know, fundraiser or something to do. Probably for, I don't know, but I'm presuming he'd been at Clatterbridge. You know, they looked after my dad for like 18 months, and they're just, you know, they, I don't know how they do the job every day, the nurses and the staff there. Just, yeah. It's unbelievable. So condolences to Ben Harrison, his family, his friends, you know, everyone who's ever knew the guy. And for me personally, Paul, the new fan park should be renamed Harrison's Bar.
Yeah, for me, absolutely. Yeah.
I think it should.
From what I can gather, there's plans to market, you know, the new fan park in some way.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have it
in his name. Not at all. No,
that's a great name for a bar as well.
Yeah, as long as nobody confuses it with Danny Harrison.
No, but Joe, a good servant to the club, and his brother's a good guy as well. Yeah. I mean, but then,
Ben's such a lovely fella.
You probably had a few.
Helped me a lot when I was working at the club. Obviously took over the tent when I was trying to run it myself, as well as doing a load of other things, but he came in and...
No wonder it was a shambles when you were there.
Don't worry about it. let me sort it, buddy. He's one of those people that if he put his mind to it, he would sort it. You know, anything you asked of him, he would sort. Like you said, with the trust, you know, I know they wanted to take over the club, and probably for the best that that didn't happen. But yeah, no, he's done so much good work for one, the football club, two, the supporter base, but three, and most importantly, like you said, the community and all that work during COVID.
Unbelievable.
Organising all those food parcels. Like you say, people, you know, sometimes too proud to ask for help. But regardless, sorted, you know, a hell of a lot and helped a hell of a lot of people. More than he probably realises or realised, you know, at the time. You know, a huge figure within the local community, like you said, you know, owning the bars and the shop and that. Always a lovely fella, always had a smile on his face, always had a cheeky grin and a laugh and a joke. Yeah, really sad loss, and like you say, hopefully they can you know, give him a fitting memorial within the new fan park, which looks like it's nearly ready to go.
Yeah, we lost a good one, and you know, cancer, it doesn't care who you are, it will, you know, it comes for you. So, yep, rest in peace, Ben Harrison, and commiserate, you know, to all his friends and family. And yeah, let's, you know, let's take it up a notch, Paul. Yeah, Paul Lewis better not be in this team tomorrow. I know he's become a bit of a scapegoat, Annie. He's become, we always like to have a scapegoat, but no, like,
he does contribute as much as people say he doesn't.
So would the chimpanzee from Chester Zoo. If you stuck him on in a shirt, he'd run about.
He can't assist on Saturday, don't he? But it's one of those players where you watch the game and you think, he's not really contributing. He's not really doing anything.
I'll tell you what he does, Paul.
He must be immaculate in training.
Here's what he does. Here's the Paul Lewis move.
It's not just Dawes that's picked him, is it? Mickey picked him and stuff. He's a regular in the team or the squad.
He'll receive a knockdown, like control it on like his chest or something, or like chest it down or like on his knee. Take one more touch. Take a little look over his shoulder at the defender coming at him. He'll then stop, defender goes into his back, and he'll fall on the ball and want a free kick. And that's what he does. That's it. Now,
a bit like Eugene Daddy then.
Yeah, but he was good. The last time I saw a football and performance at Prenton Park on that turf as poor as what he's been doing recently was when you were trying to recreate Ben Tollett's goal.
No, in all fairness, you didn't see the 45 other takes that.
No, you did. You have since shown me them.
Yeah. We do like Escape here, don't we? And unfortunately, yeah. It's. I don't really condone people booing him as he's coming off.
He's all jokes aside.
It is one of those where you think he must be so good in training that they keep picking him.
He's almost,
because you don't really see it on the match day.
Sums up the issue at the club at the minute and the frustration we have in that we see him, and I don't doubt that he's not trying his best, but he's a very limited footballer, and by all accounts he's on very good money on a 2-year deal. Same as Brad Walker, who's got, you know, another 18 months left still. These players come in and
on crook who he signed.
On good deals, on seriously good money for the level. I don't blame them for going, I'm not going. We offered them the contract. We signed it saying, we'll pay you this. They went, okay. And we're going, you know what? You know, I've got no problem with them going, no, I'm staying, because I'm not going to get this deal anywhere else. It's our fault for signing these players. Walker got a 2.5-year deal. I've liked him when I've seen him play, and all the Vale fans were like, he's a good player. And I've seen him for Vale, good.
Yeah, but he's crocked.
What are we doing? How's he pass a medical? How's he got a 2.5-year deal? How's he got that? And then Dan Pike gets a month. Do you know what I mean? I've got no doubt that this Pike will probably turn out to be a better player.
Yeah, I'm sure when he signed, he was injured, or he'd like barely played, or he's coming back from an injury. And we're doing this over and over and over.
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul. I done my left ankle at 6-a-side at the Oval on Tuesday. I'm injured now. Do you want to sign me? If that's the criteria, I mean, I'll send you a photo of the state of my ankle. Paul's lovely, and you get to see the bottom of my feet as well, isn't it? Oh, lovely. Just before you have dinner time coming up as well. Lovely stuff.
I'm just about to go and cook it now.
I haven't got my compression bandage on it, actually. So I'm going to have to see. Oh, I've just, yeah, it's not bad. I was hoping, I'm going to have to take a week off football myself. I hate it, Paul. I hate not being able to play football. So my outlet, normally play on a Monday and a Tuesday. I'm going to have to take a minimum a week off, but I've got a feeling I might be worse. It's that thing, do I rush back and hope I don't get injured? And go, I'll just take it easy, which is impossible. Or do I actually take like 2-3 weeks off and make sure it's better? These decisions, mate. Do you know what? Try me winning tomorrow. It'll cheer me up.
Yeah. Won't it? That's so fingers crossed that happens.
Yeah. Things aren't looking good, Dawadi. Well, Paul, do you know what? It's getting to tea time, isn't it? Friday night dinner time. We should probably wrap this up. We've got Paul Harper's ad break anymore. That's one of my favourite features.
No,
sponsored by
but if anybody wants to send in any adverts or they want to sell anything, I'm happy to read stuff out. Brown envelopes included, obviously.
If anyone wants to send us, like, get cold hard cash, yes, please. If anyone wants to just have their business read out on this, because do you know what we are, and I think I've said this previously, in a weird way, we are a good thing to advertise on if you've got like a business in like Birkenhead Tranmere, or you've got like a sports base, because the only people that listen to this are Tranmere fans. So if you've got something that, you know, like, look, remember, looks at Rabor, I haven't given him a shout out. I don't know if he's got any, is he still doing the t-shirts? Doesn't seem posting much about them anymore. That's another thing, we haven't had any like cult figures, have we, in a while?
Yeah.
That was the thing, he was there during our golden era where we had all these cult figures and like fun things happening. Get them Connor Jennings t-shirts back in stock. Get them printed up. I'll have one. The good old days.
We do still have the buy me a coffee going.
Oh, of course,
Still haven't paid for the
subscription
fee. So if anybody wants to contribute, no obligation, obviously, but if anybody wants to, buymeacoffee.com/thisistranmere1.
Simple as that. And I'm sure you'll tweet it out, won't you, Paul, again?
Yeah.
When this pod goes out. Yeah, it literally just helps us cover the subscription hosting costs, basically, isn't it? And we don't mean by hosting costs, we don't mean the cost for me and you to host this, because God knows we're not getting paid. There's one thing we always said, wasn't it? Like, during the pandemic, we thought about maybe doing something like that, didn't we? But then we said, no, look, you know, we bought all the equipment ourselves back in the day. Again, it was another thing. We always bring this up. We didn't get a penny off the club for this. Did we? When we were the official podcast, we had nothing. We got nothing. Yeah. I spent, God, when I think about the amount of money out of my pocket I spent on this, all the gear. And do you know what? We don't even use that gear anymore because we don't do it live.
Yeah.
What was I thinking? They've done me. Where can I send an invoice to? Never got paid for, never got paid for We're Alive, for a start. I bought loads of stuff, mics. I even bought that thing so we could stream, a little sound card that would plug into my little MacBook. I even bought that MacBook to do it, a little mini MacBook. God, they must owe me, honestly, nearly $1,000 in equipment costs.
Yeah.
Maybe I need to start doing more podcasts just to use the equipment I've got. Pathetic, isn't it, Paul? This football club. Just realised this. Mate, you brought the mood down again. Right, I'm pissed off. I hope we get beat tomorrow night.
So, yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. If you've got this far, well done, to be fair.
Yeah, I won't be listening.
If you're still listening after this, then, you deserve a medal.
I hope Nigel Atkins listens to this on his morning walk down with a way tomorrow, because I'll be waiting.
He was promoting a podcast. I can't remember which one it was.
Not ours.
It wasn't ours.
Okay.
He was promoting a podcast this morning.
But, well, do you know what? I'm gonna wait, Paul, and I'm gonna wait with a bucket.
Maybe we should tag him into the post.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Well, we spoke very highly of him, didn't we? Is he still getting paid by Southampton? Probably. Tell you what, Paul. Well, you know,
we're gonna have me tea anyway. So
yeah, let's
better times ahead.
Yeah, well, can't get any worse, can it? Actually, Tash is going out tonight, so I don't have to deal with this. If things are looking up, hope you can't hear me, because she might be okay. Hear me? No one.
She won't listen to this afterwards.
Absolutely really... not. I remember that for Class of Town, she rang me while we were doing it live in Oxton, and she was like, "I'm at the checkout in Aldi or Lidl." Yeah. It was Birkenhead.
Yeah.
And I was like, "What?
And your mum rang us?"
Yep. Oh, she used to ring us on the live ones.
Yeah.
And we used to have to do the thing where we go turn your radio down. we were actually on the radio because we'd be like, "Yeah, there's a slight delay." And good old days. God, the good old days. The good old days are coming back, Paul. We're going to win tomorrow, aren't we? Yeah. Score prediction.
5-0.
Okay, that's a bit... That's calm. Well, you had a drink, or I know it was Friday evening, Paul, but...
It was just posted, the 5-0. You remember when we beat 5-0?
2001?
Yeah, it would have been... I'll go 2-1, Champion.
I'm going to... Realistically, I think we're going to lose. But to keep the vibe going, I'll say, look, it's going to be a great day. We'll win 3-0. There we go. But off the record, I think we're going to get beat 3-0. So there you go. At This Is Tranmere on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Podcast is available on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please click on us, leave a 5-star rating, just write a little review. It helps the podcast get up there. Not that if you're not a Tranmere fan, you're going to come and find this and listen, are you? But, it's just a nice thing to do. Get on me on Twitter, at Matt Hibbert. Instagram is MattHibbert17. That's all my music stuff, if you like that. TikTok, Matt Hibbert Music. All the kids, all you cool kids listening that are on TikTok, bet you're on it, aren't you, PH?
I need to watch funny videos about cats and...
Are you actually on there?
I do have an account, mainly just to watch stuff.
Interesting. I'll report that account. but we'll be back in a couple of weeks, hopefully, when things have turned. Again, like I keep saying, tomorrow is our red pill, blue pill day. Which way will it go? It's sliding doors, but doors spelled D-A-W-E-S. Clever like that. Which way will it go? Where will we be in a couple of weeks? There's only one way to find out, Paul. Stay tuned for the next episode. Look at that. Cliffhanger. Cliffhanger's a film as well. God, that's how many films. If anyone can tell me how many films I've mentioned by name or just by metaphors in this podcast, Paul Harper will get you a prize. I don't know what.
Yeah, I'll have to read
a map, a thing.
The old cupboard.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like we used to.
Do you know what, Paul? I tell you what. Do you know what I found at my mum's?
Have you seen that Marcus Holder shirt still?
No. I've got the worst one ever still. And I found it at my mum's. I was looking for something at my mum's before I went on holiday a couple of months ago with Tash. And I found that 2001, 2002, bright yellow Zara Ifeanora long-sleeved double XL.
Quality. No.
Well, do you know what the actual shirt is? But, like, it honestly, you could have took it as a Creamfields and camped in it.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure I gave away a Marcus Holness away shirt. You
know, yeah, the yellow one.
Lime green.
Was it lime green?
Bright yellow.
Like, I know what one you mean. A horrendous colour.
Yeah.
Good old days, Paul. If someone's listening to this, remind me. And I'll put the photo up of it, because I took a photo of it. I hung it up on a thing in my mum's, because I was like, this is preposterous. And if anyone wants it, we'll give that away as a competition. Someone can tell me how many films I've mentioned in this podcast. I think I know how many, by name.
Neither of us, though, are going to listen back and count.
No, so anyone, so any answer is the winner. Then maybe I'll give that away to you, so it's just out my life, because I don't want it. But it's a great prize, regardless, isn't it? Yeah. So anyone listen to this tomorrow morning before the Wrexham game, get in touch. It's Paul Harper's Prize Corner, ladies and gentlemen. Right then, Paul, go and have your dinner. I'm going to go and get the Barbie on before it looks like it's about to chuck it down. Up the fucking time, yeah.
In Warrington, by the way.
Oh, you bloody foreigner away in Warrington. W postcode. Ooh, why don't you pop to IKEA?
I drove past it before.
Oh, God, the arrogance of the man, everyone. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, won't we, Paul? Hopefully things are looking better.
Yes.
Up the Tamir.
Up the Tamir.
To our mate.